Welcome to the second episode of the video format of the Good Sound Waves podcast. I'm your host, The Other Guy, and today I am with Nick McGraw, one of the owners of Buzzbin on Kenmore Boulevard in Akron, Ohio.
Did I get that right?
Yep, that's it.
You guys don't know how many times I tried that.
Just the once.
Yeah, just the once. Thank you for having us here. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's happening, first of all, with Buzzbin. There's been a history of Buzzbin, and that's really what we're separating from now, because we're looking at where Buzzbin's going.
Correct, yeah.
Right? Because everybody knows that Buzzbin used to be in Canton, and then the previous owners, Chris Bentley and Julia, moved Buzzbin up here to Kenmore Boulevard. And now, since then, you've come into the picture. How did you come about getting to be one of the new owners?
So basically for me, I started doing photography about 2 years ago. I would go to concert venues in the local area, you know, the Musica, Annabelle's, Zephyr. I'd go up to the Grog, Foundry, out to Westside Bowl, and I would shoot pictures for bands. And when I would go to the shows, I was just doing it mostly for myself, and then I would meet all these bands. And one day, Chris was here, and he looked at me and he goes, "You're here more than I am." And I go, "Well, yeah, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's my home base, but you know, I'm out of Hartville, so it's literally 20 minutes from my house." And I knew a couple of the bartenders that worked here, the door guy and all that fun stuff. So I would come here and hang out and then take some pictures, and I'd pass them out to bands, you know, Hussey and Distort Hope and Nervous Aggression and Pillars and all the great local bands. And so I became known in the scene as Nick's Picks. And there might be a sticker here or there throughout the bar that you'll see Nick's Picks.
I am actually familiar with that myself. I've heard about you before I knew who you were.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully it was a good hearing. So
yes.
Like I said, Chris had said, "You're here more than I am." And another day or two goes by and he goes, "You ever thought about owning a music venue?" And I go, "Well, no, I never thought about that. Like, never crossed my mind." And made the joke to the wife, and she said, "No, well, you know, let's see what he has to say." And we sat down with Chris one day and we talked, and I liked what he said. And, you know, I liked what the business aspect and the business model that he had brought here, and what method he was using to run the place. And actually, it's kind of nice that we are sitting at this table, because what a lot of people don't realize when you come to Buzzbin started off as a magazine. It was kind of like Scene Magazine was. And if you look at the table, you actually see some papers that are from the original Buzzbin magazine.
Oh, that's very neat.
Yeah, so this is kind of a really nostalgic table, and that's why I like having this table out here, because other than just some of the bands that have been here throughout the years, but you know, there's actually magazine articles from the original Buzzbin magazine. And then it started out as that, and they from what Chris had told me, they would hang out in the garage, and then they would have some drinks, and then it turned into getting a liquor license and hanging out in a local area, and then turned into a music venue. And then I think the gentleman's name was Mike that owned it before Chris and Julia, and Mike ended up selling it to Chris and Julia. Then COVID hit. Unfortunately, I think COVID really decimated a lot of businesses.
All across the country, yeah. Lots and lots of businesses, especially performance venues that relied on people being present.
Correct. Yeah, I had a good friend that I grew up with, and he moved out to California, and he was really into the comedy store scene. And he would tell me some of the stories where they would have to sit out in the parking lot, and even sitting out in the parking lot, the county would still come by and really bust their chops. And so yeah, it really decimated a lot of businesses, and I think that's about the time they moved it up to here.
Okay.
And then when they moved up here, they had some troubles getting it going, you know, transferring the license from one county to the next. And but then they got their licensing, and they started running with it. And you know, I think Chris and Julia, you know, apart from being the business owners, they were in a band, Night Goat, and Chris has been in the scene for years, and same with Julia. They were just tired.
I believe he also fronts the Most Beautiful Losers.
They might.
Chris.
At one point, yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure. So that's two bands, yeah. Activity plus
a home life, plus right. They had a young daughter. She was kind of, I want to say, the 6 to 8 year old range when they kind of came up here. Six, and then when she left here, when they left here, it was the 8 year old range. So we do have two kids, my wife and I, and they're a little bit older and a little bit more self-sufficient, and I think they were missing out on a lot of life situations,
right,
with them.
Younger children really deserve your time.
Correct, yeah. So I think for them, apart from the, you know, just trying to figure out home life, this was consuming their lives. Mm-hmm. Didn't really realize that. You know, I thought when we bought the place, it was, you know, buy some beer, buy some liquor, good to go.
Right.
But no, it's a 40 plus hour a week job for one person, let alone two. And it's hard because, like I had said before, you know, my wife and I both work full time jobs. So
right.
It's literally, I get off work at 4:30, I run home, grab a bite to eat, change my clothes, and I'm here by 5:30, and I'm here till 2, 3 in the morning.
Right, and then you have to rinse repeat for the next day.
Yeah. And then one of the things we kind of started changing was we're trying to just book shows on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays here.
Okay.
We sprinkle some Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays throughout the thing, but you know, being here on a Tuesday till about 2 a.m. is really hard. Waking up at 6.
Oh, I understand.
I don't work Fridays. So I work 4:10. So last night we were here for a show. My wife and I was here till about 2:33. Went home. I woke up to come meet somebody here by 9. And then it's leave here, go to the store, grab this, grab that, go to the distributor, grab this, grab that, liquor store, so on and so forth. And like you said, rinse and repeat.
Now, so that was a very good explanation of where Buzzbin's come from and to the point to where it came into your hands. Now I'd like to know about what's happening at Buzzbin. What kind of things are we doing here differently? I saw something like you had a Bible study for a particular night of the week. You have all kinds of bands here all the time. Just recently you had Green Jelly in here.
Yeah, they're here Friday.
And can you tell me about like where we're looking at going with this artistically in terms of this being a venue?
Yeah, so for us, when my wife and I first purchased this place, I... metalhead, punkhead, whatever you want to call it, degenerate. I told the wife, I was like, this is awesome. This is what we're doing. We're going to keep this. And she's like, no, we can't. I'm like, no, we can. We own the place. We can do whatever we want. She's like, no, we need to make it not that bar. We need to make it a music venue, a venue in general. You know, we've had comedy shows. We have a comedy show coming up in December. Last night I was at the Funny Stop. Met a comedian here that opened up on Halloween. Hendo is going to be bringing a comedy show here. He's got one booked, I think, in December, and then he's got another one booked in June.
Okay.
So they came here after the show. So I had five comedians that came here after the show at the Funny Stop last night, and just talking to them. One was from Columbus, one was from Cleveland. They love the feel, gave them my card. They're going to start booking shows here. We're here just to spread the music, spread the love, also to just be a part of the community. You know, the Kenmore CDC is an organization that's really kind of rejuvenating Kenmore. They're bringing in businesses and really working with the businesses about promoting the area, promoting the community. One of the things that they're focusing on is now making Kenmore Boulevard Akron's Music Row. You know, there's myself, the Rialto, the Old 97, all three are music venues.
And numerous studios, in fact, on
yeah,
the same
you
street.
You got the Wrecking Room studio. There's another studio that's kind of just catty corner from the Wrecking Room. There's also a music store right down here.
Right.
So what they're really doing is focusing on just bringing this section of Akron back to life.
Right.
Like I was going to say, it was back when I was younger, the Boulevard, like Firestone Park, was just a really good communal neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of small businesses. And unfortunately, over the times, businesses just get ran down. And, you know, it is what it is. But it
takes a lot of investment to keep on keeping that business on.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the focuses with Josh and Alicia running the CDC. You know, December 6th, they're having a Christmas on the Boulevard. So a lot of the businesses, like myself, will be lit up. They'll have Santa Claus over here. They'll have Christmas lights here, hot cocoa and cookies over here, and so on and so forth. They just had trick-or-treat on the Boulevard. So they're really doing a lot of work and a lot of effort to rejuvenate the area and just to bring the people back together. You know? And that's one of the things, you know, just last night I was talking with Seth, one of the owners of the Rialto, and we were discussing a situation that's kind of going on, and that's why I told him, I said, you know, we're all a family here. You know, that's one of the things that I realized coming into this neighborhood. When we bought the business, I thought, man, we got a bar across the street, bar down the road, we got the Bank Lounge, Legion, Old 97.
Competition.
I've got nothing but open arms. I literally was talking with Jimmy from the Bank Lounge, and Jimmy's father used to own the bar that was here years ago, and... he was giving me advice. You know, he was saying what sold there. He was telling me what he prices stuff at. And Shannon out of Legion, you know, she's phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot of times I have questions about systems as far as, like, POS systems. Where do I buy this from? How do I do this?
Yeah, that's definitely a deep barrel of water to jump into and try and tread.
Yeah, taxes. And, you know, I learned a lot. Like I said before, when we first looked into buying a place, I thought it was, okay, buy a bunch of beer, buy a bunch of liquor, and just hand it out, take money in.
Right.
There's so much to it. You know, I didn't know about this tax or this insurance or that insurance, accounting, the lawyer fee. So there's a lot to the business aspect that I was unaware of that I'm learning every day. I mean, just last week I learned another aspect of the business that I was not made aware of, and not to anybody's fault but my own, just being naive. But it's one of those situations where you got to take the bull by the horns and just jump right on it and get going with it. So.
Very good. Now, this you're saying before, this venue had long been associated with metal. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, in fact,
punk,
one
hardcore,
of the
hardcore underground.
One of the taglines has been "Where Loud Lives."
Yes.
You're looking now, though, with stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I've seen folk music in here mm-hmm. before, more than once. I see that there's a bigger variety of music that you're trying to attract.
Correct.
The clientele that I've seen in here also seems to be a lot of community people. Mm-hmm. The community here is standing up behind the businesses that are trying to
Correct.
Succeed.
Yes.
Now, though, you're still having nights where you're only here a few nights a week because of the fact that your schedules make it very prohibitive to be here 7 days a week, mm-hmm. and especially if you don't have sufficient volume.
Correct.
Have you had any success with different methods of bringing people into here for shows?
Yeah, so for me, one of the benefits that I had coming up through the music scene, being the photographer, is I made a lot of connections. There's a good friend of mine, he's in a band out of Cleveland, and he's put on two shows here, and both shows he's packed the house. He actually just did the show this past Saturday, which was his Halloween party. He literally paid for the bands to fly in from Chicago, Milwaukee, and California. Paid for them out of his pocket. Obviously, he was the promoter, so there's a lot with that promotion aspect of the business. But nonetheless, he paid for that out of his pocket. He fronted that. But then, like, his Rolodex is just tenfold of what mine could ever be. I want to say he's, like, in his early 40s, late 30s, and he's been touring since he was 15 years old.
That's what a fantastic life.
Yeah,
in a
sure.
sense, right?
Depends on what day you ask him.
yeah, right.
But no, he's a phenomenal guy. His band's phenomenal, well known in the area, well known in the scene, and they're just great overall guys. You know, they come here and they play. I've actually they've had shows at other venues, and then I would text them like, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" They're like, "We're playing Nick's bar tonight." Oh, cool. Well, that's cool. Hey, we're at Buzzbin. We got the show. They're like, all right, well, cool. You guys are there. All right, we're going to come out to the show. And they would literally be at the show, and then they would bring all the people at that show to come here because we're just all a friends and family situation.
So now what we're trying to figure out, though, as a business, as a bar, that how do you get people in here for that? A lot of the people that come in here are local bands. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of many of the bands I've seen are from Wadsworth or, mm-hmm. or from Akron or Kenmore. You know, or wherever it might be. And so their followings aren't so robust. Have you been having success getting people in here on nights when you're having other bands in here?
Yeah, so for us, I hate to say this because I can make myself sound a little aged, but social media is the way of the future. And we recently kind of brought somebody on board to help us run our social media aspect of the business. That was one of the things that I kind of got told, you know, bought the business in June, so June, July, and then part of August, I was focusing so solely on running the business. One of my things that I didn't focus on was promoting the shows or putting Facebook posts, the algorithms that you got to abide by, as you know.
Yeah, it's all tricky.
It is. And so what we did is we brought a person on to bring in our social media aspect. So what she's doing is posting, you know, 2-3 times a day. Oh, look, hey, we got so-and-so here tonight. What are you guys doing? And so for us, the other benefit that we have is... the business name itself is iconic.
Yes.
What we thought when we first bought the place was there was a stigma that came along with the Buzzbin name. And we wanted to get away from that. We didn't want our view on what we wanted the business to be associated with what other people viewed that name as.
Kind of like a dive bar with the, like a, bar an unpleasant clientele kind of feel.
Yeah. But what we realized is, like I said, the one gentleman that booked the show here Saturday, he goes, no, you don't realize when we go on tour and we're in Wyoming, Nevada, New Mexico, and people go, oh, you're from Akron or you're from Northeast Ohio. What do you know about this band or this venue, this type of situation? So they go, yeah. So what he taught me was this name is so ingrained into the scene throughout the country. So that's really nice. And that's one of the other benefits is that I get a lot of emails from managers, booking agents, just overall bands from California, Florida, Texas. You know, we just had a band here 2 weeks ago, I think, Jesse and the Hog Brothers, the Hog Boys, and they're from Texas. And they're just a country-esque type band. And I said, oh, you guys are country. My wife's going to love it because my wife loves country. He goes, no, we're punk country. I was like, what?
That sounds fascinating.
So I started listening to some of their music, and they were really good, really different. I don't want to say like kind of like a Weird Al Yankovic a country, like they just kind of made spoofs of songs.
Right, you don't want to minimize it.
Right, but no, they really good sound. Before they left that night to go to their next town, I booked them another show in April.
Very good. Now, I've noticed that you guys have your schedule regularly on your website. Can you tell us what your website address is?
So, yeah, for us, currently there's buzzvinkenmore.com.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and we're currently trying to work on that. Like I said, I did just bring on a social media person. So if you go to the website, it's not going to have a lot to it currently, but it will here shortly. Our goal is to get that website fully up and fully functional by the first of the year. But the main thing for us is our Facebook page or the Instagram page.
Yeah, you drive a lot of traffic with that. I've marketed for some events just by buying $10 on Instagram, and I've had a surprising result. And that is not an endorsement of Instagram or Meta or Facebook, just for what it's worth.
No, it's like I said, I hate to sound aged, but it's the social media aspect of the current world we live in.
Yeah, so you bringing on a social media person to focus on that, it's really smart when you're trying to drive up enthusiasm and excitement for what you're doing. And you have to keep on, every night that you're open, you got to reiterate again and again that this is happening tonight.
Yeah.
And as the person that's running the business, I can just see that being super overwhelming.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got 10 other phone calls and text messages to handle just to keep your vendors in line and let alone to get your next act in or whatever your promotion aspects might be.
Liquor order, beer orders, dealing with governmental agencies, random people that just come up and knock on the door because they want to come have a drink, so they think you're open and they knock. So.
Yeah, you accidentally put the lights on so that we could tape today, and we've been interrupted a couple of times.
Which it's all good and fun, but no, it's there's times I come here and I'll bring my book, and by my book I mean my calendar and my notes and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, honey, I'm gonna go to the bar. We're closed today. I'm gonna go there from 6 till 9 or 10, and I'm gonna go through the bands that emailed me. I'm going to email them back, and I'll get like 2 or 3 emails in, and then I get a phone call.
Yeah.
And I take that phone call, and then I go back to it. Well, then somebody stops by, and then – so it's a non-ever-ending list. And it's hard, but having people – the right people come in place. You know, we do have a bar manager currently. We brought her on board about 1.5, 2 months ago.
Okay.
So that alleviated a little bit here. And then, you know, my wife, she bartends here as well. So I kind of let her take a little head up the – behind the bar scene, so she runs that aspect of the business.
Right, bar manager versus floor manager.
Correct. Yeah. So I run the outside. So for example, tonight we have a show. The bartender is going to come in. Erica, she's our bar manager. She's going to run everything back there. Now when the band start coming in, I'm going to be the guy they're going to go talk to. Where can we load in at? Can you unlock the front door? Where can we set our stuff at? Okay, you can't set it under the stage because I got my subs right there. And as you can tell, we do not have an astonishing extra amount of room around this place, so it's very minimal. But it is situational, and you know, there are times where you know, we have a little parking area right outside of our side door, and I tell them, like, hey, look, I'll block off the area, pull your car up, we'll unload, we'll load, and we'll get down and out, we'll do everything we can do and get you guys out of here quickly.
You know, on the different occasions that Good Soundwaves has come out here to record before, one of the things that I really enjoyed is that this Kenmore area has a design where there's parking behind many of the buildings. Mm-hmm. So you might only be able to park 3 or 4 cars in front of the building.
Correct.
But in the back, there's substantial parking. I've never had a problem getting parking, even when this place was packed.
Well, and that's like for the Friday show for Green Jelly.
Yeah.
They have a tour bus, I guess you can call it.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really awesome looking, too.
He calls it the Noodle Express. So what we had done was, actually, I came here. Here's a perfect example of how time gets away from you. I said, hey, honey, let's go to the bar. She works Fridays. I don't. So I came here like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I came with a friend of mine. Literally, there was 3 guys of their band sitting outside the venue. I go, hey, what's going on? Oh, we're with the come on inside. It's a little chilly today. You don't have to sit outside the venue.
Right.
So we had them park their cars right out front so that when we got word that the bus that was on the tour was coming through, we could just move their cars right out and pull their bus right up out front.
So that was the equivalent of putting a chair into your snow-filled parking space
exactly.
outside.
Yeah.
Very neat. That's cool. And the cooperation to be able to do that. What kind of plans do you have for 2025? Where do you see Buzzbin going?
You know, I don't want to downplay any music venue that's in our local area.
There's a lot of excellent ones.
Yeah, I have found personally in the Akron area alone, I've worked with several of them, being a photographer, and became friends with a lot of the venue management team. I feel at this point, I think once we get our legalities situated with everything, there's some potential of investment people coming in. And with those people coming in, our goal at that point is to be the biggest venue in Akron, the most pronounced. With our hopes and aspirations, the renovations that we want to do to the place,
right.
The expansion that we want to do to the place. A lot of people don't realize this, but the building that's right next to you, behind you, is an empty building.
Oh, okay, I was vaguely aware of that, and I was actually wondering myself, like, if these guys are ever going to kick that wall down, because they could definitely use the space. You can move the stage a little bit from the front door. I've got so many videos of people performing on the stage with the crowd coming and going, because there was no other way to put the camera.
Yeah, that's one of the hopes and aspirations with the other investment team that we're going to be teaming up with next year. I hate to say a no-class-esque kind of situation where the bar's on this side of the wall, and then you walk through a big opening and the venue's on that side of the wall, but that's what we're potentially looking into.
Okay, that's actually pretty neat. It does give you a little bit of separation, so the people that are here for the music can go be over by the music, and instead of them taking up all the bar seats, while somebody who actually wants to just use the bar is ended up having to stand somewhere or just being turned off from the venue.
Right, and Emma's done a great job up at No Class, and she's really turned that place around, and that's one of the benefits of having that type of venue is somebody that wants to come in and have a drink. When they come in through the door and we're having a show that has a cover charge, they got to pay that cover charge. That's how the bands come through. That's how the bands make their money.
I understand.
With situations like No Classes, you can come into the bar and have a drink, but then if you want to go to the venue, well, that's when you go into the venue. So it's a separation.
Very good. That makes a lot of sense there. And just, I do remember Buzzbin in Canton, where they did have a separate room around the corner where the stage was.
Well, and that's kind of how the Vortex kind of operates.
Yeah.
You go into the Vortex. As soon as you walk in, you're in the bar. You go through a little corridor with the courtyard area, and then you're into the venue.
That's another venue that I recorded some very nice shows at. They've taken what was an adult establishment, and they've really turned it into something different.
Correct.
They put some nice lighting in there. The sound system's good.
Phenomenal.
They're working on the stage. So, but the general idea is, because of laws regarding adult versus the alcohol part of the business, they were required to put the bar up front, and now it works to the gives them that ability
that
to do that separation, which is invaluable when it comes down to it in the end. Plus, loading in and loading out, I go through that little courtyard rather than through the bar.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with anything. And then, and that's one of the nice things about here is, when we do have a show, we do lock the front door. I shouldn't say lock. We have a handle that when you unlock it, you just use a handle. But the door is locked. We have a sign that goes out front that says if you want to enter the venue, use a side door. But then it allows the bands to come and go right there. So they can literally take their equipment right off the stage and right out the front door, pull their cars up and load right in and then pull right out.
That's really cool. And yeah, this is not like Joe Clark chaining the school door shut. This is modern technology, allows you to lock one side and still have egress. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing dangerous.
Yes. It's a lever handle. As soon as you unlock it, it unlocks itself. It's one of the benefits of having that door right there beside the stage. And that's another thing that we're looking into is, Chris had done a phenomenal job building that stage. The sound system to which we have, here's a perfect example. There's a good friend of mine. He's in, two bands and maybe three at this point, who knows. But he also does booking for pretty much the biggest music venue out in Kent State.
Okay.
I don't want to say the only, but it's pretty much the only one that's out in Kent that's making any type of business for a music venue. He played here for the skate park party after show. And Trash Mountain played here. And he came off that stage, he's like, oh my God, he's like, your sound system's phenomenal. Like, we love it. Like, he was just astonished because he's never played here, but he's been here. But to have him tell me that, and him being the guy that runs that venue, he's the one that does the booking and all that kind of stuff. And he, like you and like me, we see a lot of shows, we go to a lot of different venues. And
right.
Somebody that has that kind of thing and have a home base to come here and be like, your sound system's killer. Like, we love it. I have touring bands that tell me the same thing.
It is solid. One of the things that I've noticed with Buzzbin is they don't fuck around when it comes to house audio engineers.
Oh, no.
Travis Arendale, who owns his own studio right across the street, and as we've already established, he tours with Green Jelly, and he's also a bass player for Toolbox and the crew.
Yeah, Lazy Ass Destroyer, Toolbox, and
His collection's
his
on
right
the
there.
Wall.
Yeah.
So he runs sound, and Jeremy Jones, which he's got a lot of experience with several. Maple Grove, I think, is his home base.
He runs Maple.
But
and Benny, he was just
he's another
super
super talented individual. And Vinny. Then you had another gentleman here.
Yeah, the guy that just came through here, Vinny. He's running Annabelle's of Sound.
So when somebody comes here to perform, then you expect to sound good. The guys give you through the sound checks. Mm-hmm. Everything's really fluid. Yeah. And with that in mind, how do bands or solo artists that are interested in performing here reach out to you to make contact to do that?
So, as I said, always social media. I can always message us. But usually if I get a message through the social media aspect, I'll tell you just email me. And that's bookbuzzman@gmail.com.
Nice and easy.
And what was really nice was... I didn't realize this when I first kind of started doing it. I was going through the social media, or people would find me in the bar and, let me book a show. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. I forget a lot. I write stuff down. I lose a piece of paper, or I'll make a note. And then I'm like, what the hell is this note about? And so that's where I like the emails, because then I can just kind of Google or purge that name in the email system. I'm like, Hussey, they have a show this week? And I'll Google Hussey on the emails, and I'll look. I'm like, there's the emails from Hussey. Okay, this is where he said this. This is where I said that.
Or, right.
Sometimes there's been times where I have forgotten to write bands' names on the calendar dates.
It happens with me when I go to schedule something. I like to have it. If I don't go and get it right into my calendar right away, I'll go check my email for it. And if it's not there, then not happening.
Yeah, I've had bands get a hold of me like, oh, hey, we still on for this date next month? I'm like, what? I didn't know we had a show. Oh, shit, I forgot to write that down. Yeah, no, we're good. Yeah, I got it right here. It's right in front of me.
Right.
And then when you email me on or message me on Facebook, that's one of our instant reply backs is bands that are interested in booking shows, email us at this email address.
That's smart. That's very smart. Use the tools available to you to communicate.
So, I mean, to be honest, for us, like I said, I was a photographer, and what got me into photography was one of my best friends, Kohler. Growing up through the 90s, he was in a band called Bonk out of Kent State area.
Okay.
It was really one of the predominant bands in the area. And unfortunately, last year, I had a passing of my mom, and I was really depressed and devastated and suicidal and was very down and out. And that's when Kohler took me to Bell's, Annabelle's. And he's like, man, just come out to Bell's. Let's go have a drink and we'll chill out. When I went to Annabelle's, I had my phone with me at that time, and I was like, this is awesome. Took a couple of pictures, and that's when I really started falling in love with the aspect of doing photography and music venue. I always tell this story to people, but that Annabelle's saved my life. I was very suicidal, very depressed, bad depression. So for us, what we want to do is have this be a safe haven. You know, we're all degenerates. This is our clubhouse. Right. So when you come to this place, there's no judgment. There's no ill feelings. We have all aspects of all types of people. Like you said, we have Bible study that happens here.
Yeah.
And just so everybody's aware, because there was so much backlash about this Bible study, this is a group of people that when I took over the business was out in the courtyard. So when I took over the business, the landlord said, hey, Nick, just to let you know, there's a local church that puts on Sunday service in your courtyard every Sunday. I allow them to use your electric to play their music, to do their microphones.
Fairly incidental to run a couple speakers.
Sure. So one day I'm walking past the courtyard and I see this group of about 7 to 10 guys sitting in a circle. And I said, hey, what's going on, guys? Because as the new owner, I'm like, hey, what is this? And they're like, we're a Bible study group. And I go, okay, cool. Is one of your named Ben? He goes, no, none of us are named Ben. I was like, okay, I thought there was a church group. And that was actually the first day they had their Bible study there. Mm-hmm. So I said, my name's Nick. I'm the new owner. Nice to meet you. Well, do you listen? I was like, I got a show we're doing. It's like, next time I have time, I'll stop by and just talk with you guys and hang out and introduce you.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, had a couple minutes. They were out there again. Introduced myself. Sat down, just talked to them. And I said, you know what, guys? Hey, listen, if ever something happens on a Tuesday and we don't have a show and there's inclement weather, rain, snow, whatever, and you guys want to come inside, come on inside. So 2 weeks later, lo and behold, here comes the rain.
Right.
So Jason, the guy that runs our Bible study group, got a hold of me. He was like, hey, would you mind if we came in? I was like, no, it's not a problem. I came out here and opened the doors for him. Then it turned into just an every week thing that they're inside here. And a lot of people that backlash, I mean, I'll be honest with you. As you said, you pay that $10 and get that algorithm. I could not have paid $50 and got the boost off of that post that I posted that day.
Right.
So much animosity, so much, that's not punk, that's not this, that's not that. Well, to a lot of the people, punk is that. Punk is being, you are who you are. We all accept everybody for what they are, for who they are.
Right, you're not specifically, I'm not endorsing Christianity over Muslim or over Hindu or over anything else.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they're kind of people that we are. We're all degenerates here, like you said, and that's their flavor.
Yeah, and they come inside. They sit in their circle right over here. I sit at the bar.
Yeah.
I may or may not have drinks while I sit at the bar.
Right.
I may or may not have stuff that aren't pertained to Christianity lifestyles while I sit at the bar.
Right.
But nonetheless, I just allow them to use the inside. And that's, to me, as we first started this whole conversation here, that's part of being a community.
I was going to say, that's definitely part of community building.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I've learned a lot from each one of those gentlemen. And, you know, this guy does this, this guy does that, this guy does this. And one day we were having electrical problems and they were here and the guy's like, oh, I'm an electrician. Really? Well, hey, look, this is what we got over here. This is what we got over here. He's like, oh, yeah. So it was just nice to have that kind of outreach.
By being a decent human and business owner, you end up making connections that actually helped you out in the end. Inadvertently. It wasn't your plan.
Yeah, and
you're just trying to be decent.
Yeah, and then there's people like, well, how do they feel about homosexuality or transgender? And I go, I don't know. We don't talk about that. They don't talk about that. One of our first bartenders that we had help us here, his name was Joe. He's openly gay.
Right.
He's one of our good friends. We have a sound person that kind of helps us out at times. Veronica, she's trans. I mean,
there's definitely a mix of people here.
Yeah.
And people that are... they're less likely to come here because they think about the metal edge to here.
Mm-hmm.
This place is made up of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are somehow different, you belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the group of people that you're going to find comfort in. And then I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy some of the music too.
Yeah. And like I said, we are a safe haven. You know, we've had situations where some customers will make another customer feel uncomfortable or make an advance on somebody that doesn't want that advance. They feel awkward. We escort them out. We have security guys that work here. We have staff that works here. We have them leave the premises. Now, sometimes that ruffles their feathers a little bit, but it is what it is. You know, we've had girls come up to us, and Lily, we're outside having a cigarette because, as you know, you can't smoke inside in the businesses.
Right.
And,
they
come inside and they go, there's some guy outside with a hatchet or a machete. And we go outside. It's one of the local Kenmore people that live on the boulevard, and he was out there with a machete chopping up bark in about July, early August to start a fire. But he made these two young women feel uncomfortable. Like, he's out there just chopping bark to make a fire where I don't even know.
Right. That's it's unusual to find on the boulevard.
Yeah. So he made them feel uncomfortable. So, all right, buddy, hey, you big badass, dude. You got a big old machete. So come back inside. Five or six of them come back out. Like, hey, you needed the premises. Like, you got to go.
Right.
But that's where we feel... Like I said, we're a safe haven. You know, if somebody's feeling uncomfortable about something, it's not going to be like, all right, well, you go over there, and just don't talk to each other. It's like, okay, let's remove the situation completely.
So Buzzbin is definitely more of a passion than it would be just a business.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward for sure to see what next year brings. I hope the vision in your head gets to come to fruition.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's going to. Like I said, you know, one of the big things... So there used to be a sign out front that just said live music. I don't know if you notice it now. It says Buzzbin.
Oh, no, I actually looked for it when I parked because when I was coming up to here because I wanted to see it in person.
Yeah, it's nice. It literally, you know, Warren, he works on an AA blueprint in Akron. He really came through in a clutch. He made the sign for us. We put it up. That night that I put it up and I turned it on, it literally brought chills to my arms and it brought tears to my eyes.
That's
the advancement that we're doing here, you know. Like I said, nothing against any of the previous owners, any way, shape, or form. That was something that, you know, they weren't able to focus on because they had so much going on within their lives that, you know, they had the banner out front, but then the banner gets winded and you can't see it. I've had people tell me they can't find it. There's still information when you Google Buzzbin that'll take you to Canton.
Well, even if you work your ass off, there's definitely things that are easy to overlook or not to be able to focus and put that attention into. So the Chris and Julia... Wonderful job. We love the fact that Buzzbin is here.
I can't thank them enough for the opportunity and the chance they've given us.
Yeah.
And like I said, they've done nothing but gave us great advice. They really set the ball in motion up here. You know, they brought it from Canton, which was a well-established area, and the base of the people down in Canton, they're coming up here now. You know, just because they want that old lifestyle that they had down there. You know, and they really set us up precisely to take over this area as one of the top music venues in Akron.
Hey, man, I really appreciate your time today. I would definitely wish you the best of luck here. Look forward to seeing Good Soundways come out here to record a few shows next year.
Oh, yeah.
And
anyone you want to come to, let me know. I'll get you in that door, buy you a soda or whatever else you drink.
Right on, man. Thank you so much. Once again, thank you so much for your time today.
I appreciate it.
That's Nick McGraw and Daniel McGraw are the new owners of Buzzbin here on Kenmore Boulevard up in Akron. You should really come check them out Fridays, Saturdays. Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays are nights that they have regular shows, and we'll see what else is available.
Yep.
Keep an eye on their social media. They've got a person working on that that's going to keep everything out there so you can find out what's going on here.
Yep.
Right, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Good sound waves.
Whatever sounds good.